Well, after two songs like we've heard this morning, I think I can preach. Open your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We're going to read the first 11 verses of this chapter, and you'll notice as we read through these 11 verses, you're going to find the word dead or death 13 times. I counted them this morning. 13 times. He's talking about death and dead. He begins by saying, "What shall we say then?" But let's go back. In verse 20 of the fifth chapter, latter part of that verse says, "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." See that? Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And then he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" The more sin there is, the more grace it takes to cover the sin. So he says, shall we sin more so that we'll get more grace? No, that's not what he's talking about. He said, God forbid. He said, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried, and here's the title of our message this morning, with him. We are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, that means from now on, we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wow. What a scripture. We've got to stop someplace. I could go on and on in this chapter. But you know, think about it. All four of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, have recorded for us the account of the betrayal, the arrest, the trial, the conviction, and the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. He was the Son of God and God the Son, and they killed him. And then these same gospel writers tell us about his resurrection from the dead. And when we read about it, it's wonderful, because we see Christ our Savior as he was nailed to that old cross, and he hung there from 9 o'clock in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 hours of agony, the last three of them marked by the darkness that came upon the earth, and finally he expired. And when we read about that, we apply it to Christ. We see Christ on that cross. But listen to me, very seldom do we ever apply this to ourselves. It's just his story. It's just an account of his suffering and his death, as tragic as it was. But we need to apply that to ourselves. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. That's what I want to do in this message. Now, first of all, let's establish the fact that Christ was crucified. We read in John chapter 19, verses 16 through 18, listen to this. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. Then he, that's Pontius Pilate, the judge, delivered him, Jesus Christ, our Savior, unto them, the Jews, who cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him, let his blood be on us and on our children," to be crucified. Then they took Jesus and led him away, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him. Remember, there were two thieves, one on his right hand and one on the left. Two others with him on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. He was crucified. This was his purpose for coming into the world. He, the eternal Son of God, came to die. He came to be made a sacrifice for sin. He came to give his life a ransom. He came to atone for the sins of the whole world. He came to be made sin for us. He came to pay the penalty for sin. He came to redeem us to God. He came to satisfy the righteous demands of a just and holy God. He was crucified. Now, Paul comes along, and in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, he makes this crucifixion personal. Here's what he said. And he uses I and me 8 times in this one verse. 8 times he refers to himself. He said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And I read that and I said, if that were true of Paul, what he said of himself, that's also true of me and of you who are saved by God's grace. So I too am crucified with Christ. Then here in Romans 6 verse 8 we read it. Now if we, see, we, he's including us. He didn't say I, he said we. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And that includes you and me again. We're part of the we. Again, he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we're talking about with Christ, we shall also live with him. So when Jesus was crucified on that cross, you and I who believe in him were also crucified with him on that cross. I'm talking about positionally. We were with him. Now that's hard for us to comprehend, I suppose, but we died with him. When Jesus died, that was our death. For he tasted death for every man. That's when I died. 1,897 years before I was born, I died with Christ. Now figure that one out if you can. I'm identified with Christ in his death. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 will help you with this, because there I find out that I was chosen in him before the foundation of the world, and that'll blow your mind. But the bottom line is this. When Christ was crucified on the cross, you and I were crucified with him. Back in 1994, I visited the place where I died. I saw the place where I was buried and where I rose from the dead. And that may not make much sense to you, but I want you to think about it. I'm talking about us dying with Christ. He was crucified. All right? Second point I want to make is this. He was buried. After he cried out on that cross, it is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He gave up the ghost. He died. Then we read that Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man, and a Jewish rabbi by the name of Nicodemus came. And those two fellows took the body of Jesus down from the cross. They prepared his body for burial. They laid it in Joseph's new tomb, where no one had ever been buried before. Let's read about it in John chapter 19, verse 40. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. That was their custom. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. It's still there. And in the garden, a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. Jesus was buried. There were witnesses to his burial. The women who had followed him from Galilee stood and saw how he was buried. And they saw the great stone that was rolled over the entrance to the tomb, and it was sealed, and guards were posted outside of it to stand guard. Now, listen to Paul in Romans chapter 6, verse 4 that we read. Therefore, we who have been crucified with Christ are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Again in Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. We died with him, and we were buried with him. Now, I was buried with Christ in that tomb. But back 70 years ago, in 1940, on a Sunday afternoon, I was led down into the waters of Patton's Creek in East Texas by my pastor, Alton Patton, who died just last year, I think it was. No relation to the creek, even though it was Patton's Creek. And he baptized me. I was buried beneath the waters of that creek in the likeness of Christ's death, and then I was raised in the likeness of his resurrection. But that was only a picture. My real burial had taken place a long time ago in a tomb outside the city walls of Jerusalem. With Christ. Now, very early in the morning on the third day of the week, some of those women went to that garden tomb where the body of Jesus had been placed. They went bringing spices that they intended to use to anoint his dead body. An angel came down from heaven. He rolled the great stone away from the door of the sepulcher. And then he made an announcement that's recorded in Matthew 28, verse 6, saying, "He is not here, he is risen," as he said. And then the invitation, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay." They did. They saw the place where he lay, but they did not see him, and they did not see me. He is risen. That's the greatest, the most powerful three words in the human vocabulary. He is risen. Words that bring comfort to grieving hearts of the living. He is risen. Words that thrill the human soul and fill us with hope. Paul writes, in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. And when he was raised, I was raised too with him. Ye are risen with him. Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. Risen with Christ. If you then be risen with Christ. Now the Bible says that for 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. And then he ascended back to heaven from the Mount of Olives, which is over there just east of the city of Jerusalem, Acts chapter 1. And now, today, he is seated at the right hand of the Father on his heavenly throne, and we, you and I, are seated there in heavenly places with him. Let me share some more precious words with you. Did not Jesus say in John chapter 11, verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me, listen now, shall never die. Believest thou this? He asked. And I ask you, do you believe it? Never to die again. We have already died once with Christ. When he was crucified on the cross, we were buried with him in Joseph's tomb. And we have risen with Christ. And we have ascended with Christ. And in him, we are seated at the right hand of the Father on his throne. Never to die again. When the spirit of life leaves this mortal body, people will say that I am dead, and they will bury my body out yonder in the cemetery. I hope someone will be there to say a few kind words over me. That's all right. I will not be dead. Amen? I will be in the presence of the Lord. Or to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now we make a lot of the rapture. I like to preach about the rapture and the first resurrection. But you know, some poor people are so misinformed about death that they call it soul sleep. And others believe in the immortality of the soul, but deny the resurrection of the body. But what does the scripture say? Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, he writes, we are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And then in Philippians 1, 23, Paul writes of himself, he said, for I'm in a strait betwixt two. He said, I'm being torn with two desires. I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better than living here. And then we have the scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Listen to this. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Physically, we are here, gathered in this auditorium this morning. Physically. But you know where we really are? Yes. We're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Did you notice the tense of the word that he uses here in Ephesians 2:6? H-A-T-H, hath. That's past tense. That means it's something that has already happened. It's not something that is anticipative that we're looking forward to. It's something that's already happened. And hath raised us up together. I'm not waiting for the resurrection. I've been resurrected already in Jesus Christ. I'm not waiting for the rapture to go to heaven. I'm in heaven now, positionally, in Christ Jesus. My soul just hasn't caught up with my spirit yet. Now, since I am in Christ, and Christ is in heaven, where am I? If I died with Christ and was buried with him and rose from the grave with him and ascended to heaven with him, where am I? With Christ. Let me give you a PS. Jesus is coming again. He's going to return to this earth. And since we are in him, we shall come back with him when he comes. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Him. We're in Jesus. And so he's going to bring us back with him. 1 Thessalonians 5:10, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, wake means alive, sleep means dead, whether we are dead or alive, we should live together with him. With him. Those are the secret words. With him. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And I'll close. It is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. With him. With him. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Oh, let's stand together. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your blessed word. We thank you for the joy that brings to our hearts. We thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that takes these blessed truths of your blessed word and applies them to our hearts and to our own situations. What a wonderful joy and privilege it is to be a Christian, to know Christ as our personal Savior. And Father, if there's one today in this congregation who has never yet made a profession of faith in Christ, I pray that today, as the invitation is extended, that they will come and confess him as their Lord and accept him as their Savior. If there are those today that should come to join our church, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will lead them. If there are those here today that need to make a rededication to you and reconsecrate their lives to you who loved us and gave yourself for us, if there are those here today that are not truly living for Christ as they know in their hearts they ought to be, help us today to realize that we are, as Paul wrote, dead to sin, but alive unto God with Jesus Christ. Have your will and your way. We'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
478.
Number 478. Thank you for listening to the Word of God. I pray that the Holy Spirit will take the words of our message today and make it real in your life. Remember, our service is tonight. Come out and be with us. We'll look into the Word of God and get another blessing God has for us.